Father, I just truly do thank you for tonight, for your people that came out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father God, this is a faith walk that we're doing. But we also know that you're there, that you are our sufficiency. And Father, I just thank you for tonight that your angelic host is walking to and fro throughout these chairs. And you're ministering to your people. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This teaching I'm going to give tonight is awesome, and it's different to the place that halfway through getting it together, God just took over and started speaking, and he said what he wanted to say. You know, I was reading the other day that right now, if you're out there, we're truly working for God with every fiber of your being, you're being come against like never before. And on that note, I just want to encourage you to keep looking up to the author and finisher of your life. He didn't bring you this far to drop you. You know, Jesus, at the end of his ministry, he was fought more than ever, wasn't he? So he was fought towards the end of his ministry, you know, when he was getting ready to go and be with the Father. What makes you think you're not going to be fought before you're getting ready to go into one of the greatest things God ever had the church to do? The enemy does not want you to hang in there. He wants you to get discouraged and perplexed and let go. You can't do that. You have to hold on. Hold on for dear life. It's worth a ride. It really is. Acts 23:1 says, "Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.' And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, 'God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you set to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?'" Look there, Paul called them whitewashed walls. Amen. And Paul said, "I'm telling the truth, but you smacked me for telling the truth." That's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It does happen to us, doesn't it? Just about every day. But we have to stand our ground just as Paul did. See, Paul knew what God called him to do, didn't he? And so it didn't matter what went on in his life, Paul kept going. Because he knew that God had called him, and God was with him, and he was not against him. Verse 4 said, "And those who stood by said, 'Do you revile God's high priest?' Then Paul said, 'I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.' But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged.' And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, 'We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.' Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" So he was telling Paul, "You're not going to die here." See that? "And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have found ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggested a commander that he brought down to you he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near. There is a plot to kill him. There's always going to be somebody plotting to kill you, all right? So when Paul's sisters, and I don't mean dead, there's always going to be somebody plotting to take you out of your calling from God. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, "Paul, the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you." Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside and asked privately, "What is it that you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you." So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, "Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me." And he called for 2 centurions, saying, "Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the 3rd hour of the night. And provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor." He wrote a letter in the following manner: "Claudius Lysias is to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell." Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Annapolis. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Sicilia, he said, "I will hear you when your accusers also have come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium. Now, we just read Acts 23. It tells us that 40 chief priests and elders fasted together until Paul was killed. In fact, when Paul's nephew found out about the plot to ambush and kill Paul, a commander in the army says in verse 23, "Get 200 soldiers ready to leave to Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight. Also take 200 spearmen and 70 mounted troops. Provide horses for Paul to ride and get him safely to Governor Felix." Think about that for a moment. 470 armed guards were assigned to Paul. These men had swords, spears, and they were trained in how to use them to kill others. The President of the United States doesn't even have that type of escort. If they needed 470 to guard him, Paul, how many soldiers were sent to kill him? Was he that much of a threat? Yes, he was. Getting to a point here, you see that, don't you? Imagine that, a follower of Jesus, the Messiah, walking in so much power and authority that a small army was sent to stop him. One person. Let's go a little further. What were they all afraid of? Why was the enemy so terrified of one follower that he inspired an army to kill him and chief priests and elders to fast for his death? Look at that again. What were they all afraid of? Why was the enemy was so terrified of one follower that he inspired an army to kill him and chief priests and elders to fast for his death? When was the last time you entered a town and the entire clergy fasted to kill you? Come on. And hired an army to make sure it was done. Never happened, did it? Another note to think about in Acts 23 shows just how much political influence Paul actually had. He is friends with governors, rulers, commanders of entire armies. God has prophesied to some of you that you would stand before the dignitaries, right? That you would be standing before the governors and the kings. Also, please note, Paul was a business owner, an entrepreneur, who ended up writing a whole bunch of bestsellers that are still selling today and being read by billions all over the world. You book writers in here, think about this. And he moved and operated as a powerful apostle, prophet, and teacher that had signs and wonders follow him. We have really put ourselves into a box, haven't we? We've really missed the boat by accepting a little when God wanted us to be so much and so powerful. I have a question for us tonight. What would an entire church look like if everyone there was operating at the level the Apostle Paul was operating in? An entire church. What would your town, city, state look like if you and your church started operating in what Paul was operating in? We can't even change the little town of Wyoming. So what do you think you're going to do with the whole state? What would it look like if you had battle scars like Paul had for preaching the gospel? On that note, how many churches does it take to change a city? If the church was operating in all the fullness of the Godhead, it would only take one church. Come on. In case you haven't noticed, what we're doing isn't working. Either there is power in the gospel in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, or there isn't. Let's just stop there. You know, when I first started my ministry, when God first started the ministry, the pastors in this area, they took their turns of coming into here and was going to stand and put me down. And what happened was, as they sat here and the anointing was flowing, at the end they would stand up crying and say, I came here to disgrace her, but I'm here to tell you she's a true child of God. They took their turns, didn't they, coming in. And then they had to confess at the end, this is why I'm here. And then finally, when none of them could do what they thought they were going to do, they left me alone. Do you think that you're going to have a church or a ministry and Satan's not going to send in his cohorts to try to bring shame and disgrace upon you? He will. But see, if you're walking in the full knowledge of who you are in Christ, if you're walking in the purity and the righteousness of Christ, they won't be able to touch you. God, what they meant for my harm, God turned around for my good and God's glory. Amen. And every time they come in, we knew that what they were here for. Yeah. So, guys, I just want you to know that you are called by the Almighty God. You have the same power and authority that Paul had. You can go out there and you can destroy the kingdom of darkness. And yes, the devil is going to come after you. Like God told me one time, he said, daughter, he said that now the enemy himself is going to come after you. He sent his people, but they couldn't bring you down. Now he himself is coming after you to bring you down. So, you know, you'll find out if you're fighting little battles, next thing you know, your battles are going to be really big. And it's because Satan's little cohorts couldn't bring you down, so Satan himself is coming after you. I hope that none of you ever have him visit you and sit and talk to you or stand and talk to you and never sits and tell you what he's going to do to you. But if he does, don't let fear rise up. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus and just tell me he can't kill you. I said, you can't do none of that stuff to me. Who do you think you are? Well, he did all this stuff, but he couldn't kill me. So what you need to say to him, you can't kill me. You know, and then you just keep on walking. And you have to fight each battle as they come. You know, just face that battle, fight it, and get through it. And then there'll be another battle, fight it, and go through it. And just don't get battle weary. Don't become discouraged. Okay, either there is power in the gospel in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, or there isn't. Let's be honest with one another for a moment. Each and every one of us has a deep longing, an unsatiable craving, and a burning desire in our bellies to release all that God has embedded within our spirit. Do we not? And aren't we a little bit disappointed when we don't see the miracles happen? Or aren't we a little bit disappointed when we don't see a life changed? But you know, that's not our job to do those things. That's God's job to do them. So we don't get discouraged and we don't give up. We just keep right on going and let God do the works. All right, just like Paul, one, have you ever had that thought and feeling of knowing you are destined for more than what you're going through right now? Number two, and then realizing you have no idea how to get there. See, this is where I'm at. Amen. Number three, you have vision. Number four, it is there, you know. Number five, but you have not been able to manifest it. Number six, it is this fire in our bones that is screaming, let me out. You know, like fire shut up in our bones, saying, let me out. I want to get out there and be a burning fire for the Father. Most of you have books inside of you that the world is waiting. Most of you have books inside of you that the world is wanting and needing to hear. That's why I encourage you, when God said you're going to write books, you need to write books, because he knows what the world needs, and he knows that you have that book in you. Now, you might write a book and somebody else might copy that book and write the book under their name, but see, you were the original giver of the book. God gave it to you originally, and you wrote it and put it out there, and so there's more anointing on your book than the next book that somebody writes with the same stuff in it, because yours came directly from the throne of grace. All right? I'm hearing God say, if you will just believe me tonight, all of this that I've called you to do will come to pass. And he's saying there's an urgency in the air for you to believe and trust him so that he can bring you forth into the divine revelation that is shut up within your bones. And he wants to bring it forth to a lost and dying generation. All right, I said, most of you have books inside of you that the world is wanting and needing to hear, training manuals and teachings, things the Lord had you search out long ago. And, you know, as I was writing this down, I was thinking about all you people in here. You've been searching things and day and night and searching them, and God wants you to put it in a book. Just about everybody in here has gone through so many refining fires, you could write a 29-volume introduction on the topic, right? Each one of you could write your own book about your refining fire. You can finally start living your God-given dream and vision for your life, because the day is the hour and the season for all of God's plans for your life to be fulfilled. Everybody, and I mean everybody, is saying now is the time. Really, I don't care what everybody else is saying, but I know God told me that now is a time that he wants to fulfill everything he's spoken to you about your life. He wants to give you every promise. He wants to do it right now. Step up to the plate with all the power and authority God placed within you when you first became born again, and allow the Holy Spirit to become alive in you. So I said, step up to the plate with all the power and authority God placed within you when you first became born again, and allow his Holy Spirit to become alive in you. If you truly became born again, then you have power and authority in you. And now God wants you to step up to the plate, because he needs to use you. If you look at the prophets, they're all young people nowadays. Some, I don't even recognize them because I've never seen them before. But they have powerful prophetic words they're given. Powerful instructions they're putting out there. And see, God wants to, I hope you all don't get passed by, because he wants to use you all in here in the same vein. But see, you're going to have to make a decision. I trust you, Father God. I know that you want me to do this, and so I'm going to step up to the plate, and I'm going to just turn myself totally and completely over to you, and I'm just going to let me use you in any way you want to use me. That's why I've been praying, I surrender. We need to surrender to God every single solitary day. Every day. Maybe a couple times a day. Because the enemy comes in to invade your privacy with the Father, and you're going to have to surrender to God all over again and let the devil know that he doesn't have control of you, that you belong to the Father, the Almighty. Now, from this point on is a fully prophetic word that God started speaking to me, and I typed it up, and this is what he had to say. It is no longer bargain basement Christianity. It is glorious mountaintop experiences that will carry you through every battle that Satan rages against you. This is all. I had Chris Lynch put this on the Word of the Day. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And I put that scripture in because of what God said next. You are the overcomer. You are the overcomer. You are not the victim. Get that in your spirit tonight. You are the overcomer. You are not the victim. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour, but you are not his meat for the day. This is all God speaking now, right? But you are not his meat for the day. Like David of old, his head is yours today to cut off and parade through the quarters of hell to let the enemy know you have the power and authority, and hell is powerless. Amen? If you look on the website, this is on the website, because I saw it before I left home. Take a stand this day. Rejoice as you place all of your warfare garments on. Rejoice as you place all of your warfare garments on, because God said that his body does not use all the warfare weapons that he's given them. So he says, rejoice as you place all of your warfare garments on, and then go forth singing the praises of the Holy One, and start wielding that sword over your head and slice the enemy to ribbons. See, God says you can do this right now. It truly is victory time in the camp of the beloved ones. It truly is time of great harvest. It truly is time of great rejoicing all over this land of America. For the darkness has come to invade America. But I tell you, my light in you will dispel this darkness, and this light in you will bring glory all over the land, and you shall see multitudes that were headed for the abyss. You shall see them in my house, and you shall see them do great and mighty exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is straight out of the mouth of God. You can take this to the bank. It is God speaking to you people, to all of us. And he's encouraging you to go on. God went on to say, who does the enemy think he is, and why does he dare think this way? Is it because you have backed off and allowed him to think he has all the power and authority? We can say amen to that in some areas. And then God said, hope not, for you are my powerhouses that I have sent forth to conquer on all sides. You are the mighty army that will not be stopped by any force of darkness nor lukewarmness. You see that? You are the mighty army that will not be stopped by any force of darkness nor lukewarmness. You shall prevail over the land, and you shall conquer the enemy, and you shall see my glory invade this entire continent called United States of America. Have I not spoken in so many ways of the great blessings that you will behold? He's talking about your blessings again. Have I not spoken about my great glory cloud that's going to cover the entire earth? Am I a man that I should lie? No, I am not a man. I am the Most High God that created this universe and all things in this universe, on this universe, and I am well able to keep what I created. Dummies, God created you. He placed you in your mother's womb. He breathed that breath in you when you come out. He created you so he's well able to keep you. And you don't have to give in to the wiles of the devil, because the word tells us he made a way of escape. All right, so most of you are of the generation that got messed up because you had messed up parents. But quit making that an excuse to continue down the road of darkness. Get out of the darkness and get into the light. Because God said we're lights, we're not darkness. All right, he said, I'm going to go back, Nancy. Am I a man that I should lie? No, I am not a man. I'm the Most High God that created this universe and all things in this universe, and I am well able to keep what I created. Where do you think all this chaos came from? It came from the pits. It sure did not come from the heavenly realm. Come on. I need transformers. I need those who act like conduits for me all across this land. And see, and I didn't quite understand all that, so I called Brother Christopher, because I know he has a degree in electronics. I said, is that a right statement? Yeah, but then he went into this long, I thought I was in electronics class, because he went through this long thing. I said, okay, thank you, Chris. That's all I needed. So the statement God made is, I need transformers. I need those who will act like conduits for me all across this land. Will you be a conduit for me? Will you walk even the corridors of hell and set the captives free? Can I trust you to send you on assignment to preach my uncompromised word to all the nations? This great commission that I am bringing will cause you to invade hell with total glory and to set the captives free. I want to read that statement of that paragraph over again. Will you be a conduit for me? I want you to decide right now, are you going to be a conduit for God tonight? And if you're going to say yes, then just don't say yes. Just be saying yes. Say yes and mean it. You're making a covenant with the Father. Then he goes on to say, will you walk even the corridors of hell and set the captives free? Can I trust you to send you on assignment to preach my uncompromised word to all the nations? This great commission that I am bringing will cause you to invade hell with total glory and to set the captives free. Can you imagine what that's going to do for your deliverance? God said here, this great commission, he's given you a commission to go into hell when you're doing deliverance, these people, and set those people free. I myself am on a mission also. This is still God speaking, all right? A mission to save lost souls at all cost. A mission to send forth those who know their Father and will not compromise my gospel, but they are committed to die for my word. Let's read that again. I myself am on a mission also, a mission to save lost souls at all cost. Are you on the same page as God is? Are you on a mission to save lost souls at all cost, like he is? Then he said, a mission to send forth those who know their Father. So if you're saying yes, then he needs to send forth those who know their Father. Do you know your Father? And will not compromise my gospel. You're not going to back off from the gospel of truth. You're going to keep speaking the truth no matter what it costs you. But they are committed to die for my word. Are you committed to die for the word of God? I am searching to and fro for the hearts that have gotten right with me and stayed right with me. You know, one day you're up, next day you're down. And that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody that said, God, you know, I'm sorry, you repent, and then you stayed right. That's who he's looking for. This is all God. This is none of me, all right? Question, are you one of those that I can trust with these poor lost souls? No more time for hesitation. Now, right now, is the hour of total, complete commitment to the cause of heaven. You hear that? Now, right now, excuse me, is the hour of total, complete commitment to the cause of heaven. You can't be no longer walking this wishy-washy path that you've been walking. You have to be totally and completely committed now, he says. The torch is burning very brightly, and I mean very brightly. Are you willing to carry the torch all across this land, no matter what the cost? Come on, this is all God speaking. I want you to really think of what he's saying to you today, tonight. Are you willing to carry the torch all across this land, no matter what the cost? Some of you haven't come to that point yet. I'm sorry, but you haven't. You have to be so totally and completely committed to God that it doesn't matter what he asks you to do. You're willing to do it, excuse me. If he asks you to give up a loved one, then you have to give up a loved one. If he asks you to just pick up your bags and move, you know, to another state, another country, you have to do that. Totally committed to God. No matter what he asks you to give up. This is a very serious time. This is very serious because when God takes me over like that and he just starts speaking, there's something in the air. Amen? Remember, this is still God. Remember, I am is with you. And as I was with Moses on his journey, I will also be with you. God told me that at the very beginning of my ministry. And he has held to that truth. He's always been with me as he was with Moses. So I'm telling you, when God said here, remember, I am is with you. And as I was with Moses on his journey, I will also be with you. He will be with you the entire way. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And when you're going through hell and think you're never going to get out of hell, he'll be there to encourage you to keep on walking. Have you truly counted the cost? Come on, have you truly counted the cost? Have you truly spent time in the secret place to know my heart and hear my still small voice? Or Adam, are you too caught up in your little girlfriend and spend more time with your girlfriend than you do with God? You know, I don't know what they do, but this is what I'm saying. You know, so God said, where am I at? Have you truly spent time in the secret place to know my heart and to hear my still small voice? Have you dropped every idol in your life? That is so important that he said that. Have you dropped every idol in your life? Have you come to the cutting edge of the battle, completely surrendered to me? I'm going to tell you, if you've been going through hell for the last 20 years, you should be totally and completely surrendered to God. Because there's no way on earth you could possibly be standing and breathing today with all the hell you had to go through to get to this place tonight. So you should be totally and completely surrendered to him. Then he says, if you have answered yes to all these questions, then you are part of the bride, and I will use you to your fullest. Look out, because the devil's here tonight listening to you. I had to sit there and pray halfway through the song service because I felt him come in and try to do his dirty work. But my God is stronger than any devil in hell. And I know what power and authority I have. And I know he has none, because he's been dogging me for all my life, ever since I got born again. And I'm tired of him dogging me, aren't you? And it's, you can smell Miss Nancy Willis. You can smell. Honest, you can. Thank you. I mean, he dogs and he dogs and he dogs and he dogs. He's right at your heels constantly. But you know what? There comes a day and it comes an hour when he has to back off. And you'll know when he has to back off because you have such a freedom. And you have such a boldness rise up within you. And you say, come on, devil. I'm ready for another round with you. Because I already know you've lost. And you'll mean that with every fiber of your being. Instead of whining, God, why do I have to go through this again? You'll be saying, come on, devil, I'm waiting. Be something like these, like some of these people on TV. These, come on, you know, I'll fight you. You're in there. And then when somebody comes up to him and said, okay, let's go. Well, you know, not now, you know. So you can't be like that. When you tell the devil, come on, I'm ready to go another round with you, then you have to be committed to go another round with him, knowing that you won before you ever start the round. God went on to say, remember, I will not be betrayed. Listen to this. I will not be betrayed any longer. When you place your hand to the plow, you cannot in any wise look back. If you promise him tonight that you're one of those he's searching for, then you can no longer look back. You can no longer go back to that sin nature that you used to have. You have to stay on the course. If you promise God tonight, you're going to stay on. There's no looking back. You sing the song, No Turning Back. There's just no turning back. God, this is the time that you have to make a stand tonight. I'm hearing God say, this is where the rubber meets the road. You have to make a stand tonight. God, I'm going all the way with you. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care how hot the fires in hell get around about me. I know that you're in that fire with me. And I know that you can bring me through this thing. And God said, you must be totally committed to the cause of heaven and then start marching. You have to be totally committed to the cause of heaven, not your cause, but the cause of heaven, and then march on. March on, my army, march on with me and conquer on all sides, knowing that I am with you in this cause of justice for the kingdom of heaven. If you don't know that God is with you tonight, then just back off. Because the enemy will destroy you at every turn. So he said, march on, my army, march on with me and conquer on all sides, just not one or two, but all sides, knowing that I am with you in this cause of justice for the kingdom of heaven. And he stopped just like that. And I said, what else is there? He said, I'm done. I spoke what I had to say. So God has spoken to you what he had to say to you tonight. We read about Paul to begin with and how all those people were fasting and praying. You know, remember our story I told you that the witches in here meet once a week to pray against me, and they actually fast and pray that I will fall? I'm still standing. And I have news for everybody. I'm not falling. I'm the apple of God's eye. He's been with me thus far, and he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Do each one of you in here tonight have to know this? I'm the apple of God's eye. You can say that. I'm the apple of God's eye. He is not going to leave me nor forsake me. And the enemy has no place in me. Does the enemy leave me alone? No, come on. You know, I haven't died yet and gone to heaven. So he's going to dog me, you know, until the day I go to heaven. But he can no longer touch me the way he used to and cause me such havoc. He could just, it's like a little barking, them little barking dogs that bark at your heels all the time. He's just a nuisance. But you can take care of a nuisance, can't you? Get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus. Kick him in the teeth, right? Come on. So don't think just because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that you're not going to have any problems with Satan. Yes, you will. There's always going to be a vessel willing to be used to come against you. Always. I want you to know this tonight. There will always be a vessel open and willing to come against you to destroy you. You know, when you're open and willing, the enemy can come. You might get a little bit distraught with me. Right there, you have an open door, and the enemy will use you then to come against me. And each one of you need to think this about yourselves. Each one of you need to say, just like I said about me, that's the same thing with you. The enemy's going to come, use somebody to come against you to try to destroy you. We can't allow that to happen. When you're weak and you can't pray through yourself, call somebody. My Lord, pick up the phone. You do any other time. Pick up the phone or get on email and say, help, I need some prayer because I'm being bombarded and I can't get up. Pride says, I don't need to call nobody. I can do this thing. Get out of here. If you could do this thing, you would be out there slaying the giants already. But you're sitting here trying to figure out how even to get through the next day. You're not slaying no giants. You understand this? Come on. God said his door of blessing is wide open. He wants to bless his body at this given time and not curse. He said, but it's up to each one of you individually. Will you swim the river or are you going to stand on the riverbank? The decision is yours tonight. He wants all swimmers to come to the front. Come on, he said, are you going to swim in the river or are you going to stand on the river bank? If you're going to swim in the river, then he's going to pour his glory into you. Are you listening? He is going to do a great and a mighty works. Thank you, Father. Now you're up here saying, Father, I'm going to swim in that river. I'm no longer going to compromise. It doesn't matter how bad the enemy comes at me, I'm going to stay in that river. I do not want to be caught on the riverbank and missing out on you.